Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Let's see. Rick, this email, oh, this is from Todd the Corpse, who is kind of our resident God guy.
Oh, come on, come on.
Rick, I know nobody wants to hear this, but here's the deal with, and this is for Chris, by the way, who is still listening, regardless of what he might have tried to imply, Christian Roman terminology when it comes to the relationship between Jesus and his believers. You are right to say that the relationship is defined in... And Sarah, by the way, had a really good point when she noted that this would have been an interesting conversation had Chris not decided to run away like a small child with his skirt tucked between his figurative legs. Big fat coward. You are right to say the relationship is defined in marital terms, most likely because it's one of the highest forms of relationships a human being can have and understand. I do not think you're correct to say, however, that there is any pseudo-sexual connotation that goes along with that. It is all about devotion, and I think anything else you read into that is kind of a you thing. So to sum it up, it's about devotion, not about stooping. And then he signs it, oh, did you want to talk to Tom? No, here's my thing. A, I'll make these observations real quick, just to clarify this. A, I'm speaking largely from a Catholic point of view, of course, but in a lot of faiths, people who are called to serve, whether they are lay people or whether they are, in fact, ordained, whether they're men or women, whether they're nuns, priests, reverends, ministers, what have you, they do engage in a ceremony in which they are, in fact, married to God, especially if you're a woman, in which case God becomes not only your pseudo-father, but also becomes your pseudo-husband figure. Secondly, you're talking about, in most of these religions, a pseudo-father-slash-husband figure who dictates very specific, sometimes very specific, aspects and details of your sex life. A father figure, a heavenly father figure, who takes an inordinate amount of interest into what you do with your private parts inside the bedroom. Thirdly, you're talking about a pseudo-father or a husband or parent figure who not only takes an interest in telling you what you can do in the bedroom, but then wants to have you sit in a small room and confess and talk openly and graphically about what you may have done in the bedroom that violated the dictates he has put down to you. And fourthly, I would say that especially if you're talking about the Catholic Church, at least, which is where our experience comes from in the show, you're talking about an entire religion which is predicated on the impregnating of a human being by God or his spirit. So, you know, Chuckles, you can say whatever you want about this, but, you know, you read the book itself. It's all there, baby. The Spirit of the Lord came upon her, and she was with child. That's a weird pseudo-sexual relationship. And I'm not saying, you know what, you can follow it, believe it, don't. I didn't write the book. I'm just telling you what's there, pal. So, you don't like it, you can lump it. You can take it down the road and dump it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend from Storm and the Ball, Storm and Large. How you doing, sister?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up with you? This is a surprise. What brings you to the phone?
Oh, I was listening in, and beyond yelling at the radio when Crazy Chris called, I also had heard mention of all of the political cold calling that had been going on, all the phone calls, because it's such a big, crazy election, and we're teetering on the brink of actual change. But I wanted to call and apologize to you and everyone, because I'm kind of one of those phone callers.
Oh, are you? This is Storm Large. Would you please go vote? Do it now or I'll beat your ass. Pretty much.
Ed Kulongoski's office called and they asked if I would be interested in participating and pushing, giving that little push to the younger kids. And I thought it was going to be radio spots or something like that, but they wanted me to do this phone message thing, which is pretty interesting.
And so what is it? What does it say? Do you say, like, this is Storm Large, go vote now, do it?
Kind of. Well, no, I kind of couch it by saying, hey, this is Storm Large. Believe me when I tell you, I absolutely hate it when people I don't know call me to tell me to do stuff, but it's a very important election. Please reelect Democratic Governor Ted Kulongoski, blah, blah, blah. Yada, yada, yada. They gave me a bunch of talking points, but I said, listen, I'm just going to ad-lib a little bit. I won't be offensive. I won't be obscene. But you can't edit me. If you edit me in any way, I will denounce the message. There's a real clean, really tame, but if you get a phone call from me, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, you know, as I say, you know, we had what's his name, Jefferson Smith on from the Oregon Bus Project, who came on. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, giving his pitch about why people ought to go vote and so forth, and that's okay. I find people's naive, childlike belief in the power of voting to be kind of inspiring in a strange way.
Oh.
No, I mean, none of us on the show believe in it, but I'm glad that there is somebody out there who does. So.
Well, I have to believe in it because bloodshed just kind of isn't going to happen for a while. So we gotta try. Don't try anything.
That's the spirit. The revolution is still a few years off, brothers.
We're still a ways off. I mean, I would love to choke the guy from Diebold who made the voting machines. But that kind of thing is still frowned upon in the federal sort of penitentiary.
No, of course. And we here on the Rick Emerson Show wish all the federally elected officials a long life and the best of health. In no way do I wish harm on any governmental official.
Absolutely never in public would I wish something awful to happen to anyone.
I am making a long list of people who are going to be up against a wall when the revolution comes, though. Have no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah. When the time comes, and it's...
That's okay. We have a coworker here, this guy Smokey, who works with us. He works at our sister station at KUPL, and he actually came over and he's like, I have this ballot and I don't know what to do. So I think we're actually just gonna sit and go through the ballot either later today or tomorrow and just tell everyone how to vote. We will decide for all.
Oh, good.
Hey,
Thank you, man. Did
you sing the national anthem at the Trailblazers game?
I did. It was terrifying.
When was it? I didn't even know anything about this. When was it?
It was on Saturday. It was last Saturday, the 4th, and the Blazers won.
Fantastic. It was probably because of you. It was your positive vibe.
Don't blame it on me. I mean, those kids have some spunk, man, and they all make me feel small. So I love them.
And it's and then you got the Navarroized version of Ladylike, which we played last week, which is badass, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, he's a lead guitar player, total rock star, but he did not wank once on that track. He was very faithful.
Very restrained. Very restrained. I got to say, and this is not to knock any of the guys, who are in your banks. What are your the drummer for the Balls? Is it Brian? Is that the guy's name?
Brian Parnell.
This is not to knock on him. He's a fine drummer. He's great. But I got to tell you, man, we played that the version of Ladylike that has Nate Morton on it, and boy, that guy can just pound it. That guy knows how to play. He's amazing.
The house band actually will be at the Aladdin
with Paul Stanley.
With Paul Stanley,
I have promised Scotty, and I will make this promise. Here, let me tell you this: I will make this promise right here, as they used to say to me in parochial school, in front of God and everybody. It's a bottle. It's a big bottle of whatever you drink. If you can hook up Paul Stanley, get Paul Stanley on the show. Anybody out there, if anybody can hook up and wrangle Paul Stanley, Scotty's doing his best, but he's only one man. If anybody can hook me up with Paul Stanley for an interview, it's a bottle of whatever you like.
I'm on it. I'm on it.
There you go, sister.
All my friends are playing in his band right now. So
well, that's...
And I'll see what I can do. I mean, they're playing on Saturday. I don't know when they get to town, but I'm supposed to have dinner with those guys. I don't know about Paul Stanley, but with the house band, Davey and I are supposed to hook up with them, but I don't know when they get to town. So I'll find out, and I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, you make it happen, you drink on Rick Emerson for the foreseeable future.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Because Paul Stanley is high. He's actually so high on the list of people that I want to interview that it's like I just assumed that it would never happen. So
what about if I could get you a phoner? Would that work?
That would be acceptable, yes.
Okay, because the thing is about getting them to town on a weekday. I'll do my darndest. Do you have one of those little portable dealy bobs?
I do.
Backstage to the show, you could do an interview back there.
Totally, absolutely. And the thing is, I mean, you know, if we do one on the phone, then we'll avoid the unpleasant side of me making out with him. And nobody wants to see that. Because I might have to do it. If he's here, if the star child is in studio, I might just have to make out with him.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean,
I love you. That's so beautiful. How do you feel about that?
He is. Sarah, how do you... I mean, as you would agree, he is Paul Stanley. I mean, how can you pass it up?
Oh, you would totally make out
with
him.
Totally. I completely would. Look, I'm all man. And you know what? Dennis Pitzenbarger admitted the same thing. Pitzenbarger said that if Paul Stanley was here, I'm like, what if Paul Stanley wanted you to give him a little, a little groping? He's like, I think I'd do that, you know?
Wow.
After all that Paul Stanley has done for me in my life, you know?
I will tell him.
All right.
Sure to tell him that.
Absolutely. And so if you...
Do you have tickets to the show?
To Paul Stanley? I do not, actually. I'm still actually gonna go do that. So.
Okay, get your tickets, and I will see what I can do about arranging you meeting and interviewing him at the Aladdin.
Oh, I might wet
myself.
That would
be the easiest thing.
The teeth might vibrate right out of my head.
You need to calm down right now.
Seriously. And so if anybody hears your voice on the phone calling them, they're not hallucinating. You actually are.
No, they're not hallucinating, and I apologize if I find it very annoying, but it is a very important election. If you believe in voting, I personally do. You gotta do it. We're on the edge of pushing out the child rapers. So.
Well, that's always who can. I like you put it in terms I can't possibly oppose. Rick, you don't want to keep child rapers, do you?
I know.
Rick Emerson supporting child rapers. Yeah. All right. The website is stormlarge.com. And you guys are doing that thing at the Crystal, right?
We are doing the Rockstar Energy Beverage mix it up at the Crystal on November 18th, and that's going to be a blast.
How great is that you're doing something for the Rockstar drink now? That's fantastic.
I know. I just can't get away from that moniker, man. It's just all over me.
Excellent. All right, sister. Well, I will go home and sit there with a box of tissues and eagerly await your recorded voice calling my phone. So, all right, Storm all right. Large, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, sister. All right,
bye.
There you go. Let's see. Let's get the. So the phones are all crazy today. Let's have the Diane. Diane.
Maureen.
I apologize for the randomness of my question on the heels of such greatness.
Oh, that's okay. Well, at least you're not calling him and go, Rick, let me talk to you about Jesus! You know, so, I mean, don't worry about it.
Hey, wondered if Sarah had any idea at all. I'm the Jessica Simpson slide watcher. Whatever happened with Employee of the Month? Did anything happen there? Did it place? Did it just go to DVD? Did it even go to DVD?
I think it only lasted a couple weeks, and then, I think they're already shipping it off to DVD.
Did Employee of the Month at the Dane Cook thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that just that. Well, you
know, because it came out.
Sons of bitches.
Completely gone.
And they offered to come on and to have Dane Cook come in and do an interview the week after that movie came out because it was tanking really badly, and then they canceled on it at the last minute. We never did that, and the movie is just.
And now Jessica Simpson, all she's doing is talking proactive everywhere.
Yeah. Well, and Ashley's on Broadway, and her
really?
She just finished up in London.
Doing what?
She was Roxy in...
In Greece? Not in Chicago, rather?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all right, then. Well, so there you go.
I guess it's almost over, huh, Sarah?
Yeah, I think so.
Jessica Simpson? What, she's just like, were you waiting for the overdose?
No, I have some pictures of her, but she just looks so awful that I just felt bad posting them.
She's got a lot of plastic surgery.
Yeah, she's looking like a little freak show herself.
She looks like a mini Dolly Parton.
Oh, that's Dolly Parton's
perfect.
Like 70, so you can get away with it. It's true.
Totally.
I lose you guys. I'm on a bad phone. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. There you go. Yeah, no, well, that's the problem when you try to play catch-up to the hot sister like that. You're never going to, I mean, that's the problem. Is Ashley got that nose fixed and suddenly it was all hot and Jessica just, I'm going to be the hot sister again. And she's had like numerous surgeries done. Like her lips are all big and sausagey.
Yeah, she admitted to that one. So did Ashley. But I guess I read today that Cameron Diaz was so impressed with Ashley Simpson's nose job that she's going to go get one done by the same guy.
Cameron Diaz's nose is fine. She doesn't have the big beak that.
She doesn't have the big beak, but it's kind of like smushed.
Okay.
Well, she's saying that she has breathing problems, like sure you do, honey.
Yeah, all right, whatever you say. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, I was caught without our usual storm team stuff, and I found our storm team opening music, and I've given it to... It's right there.
Oh, just for the weather, us and the inclement weather? All right, here we go.
Well, the flood warning continues for places you couldn't possibly care about going to anyway. One is Lewis River in Woodland. It's affecting Clark and Howlett's County. Another one is Castle Rock. You wouldn't want to go there either. How about Kelso? I didn't think so. And also, things are causing trouble on the coast because every Thanksgiving, the holiday is ruined in Tillamook. But it hasn't happened there yet, so it's flooding over there. Let's talk about the president, shall we? This is a Bank A. We're going to go back and refresh
all over things here.
The president is praising the death sentence handed down to Saddam. He says he's doing his best to hang on to Republican control of Congress.
Hang on.
At a GOP rally in Friendly, Florida.
Members of the United States Congress and both political parties saw the same threat. The United Nations saw the threat. My decision to get rid of Saddam Hussein was the right decision, and the world is better off for it.
Well, this is like, this is the same speech he's been given for like a year and a half
now. But he's got it down.
Well, that's why he just gives, this really, it's like...
reading the same liners over and over
again. It's like he's a blind melon, and this is his No Rain. It's just the one hit that he just plays everywhere he goes, because that's all it is, man. It's just, this is constant, like, he's no longer Monday morning, this is like Wednesday morning quarterbacking now.
Yeah. Well, let's hear it for the impending death of Saddam, shall we?
On Sunday, we witnessed a landmark event in the history of Iraq. Saddam Hussein was convicted and sentenced to death.
Woo! We love killing people.
Notice they cut off any crowd reaction.
Well, of course, because they don't... I mean, I think even they've got to know that a whole crowd full of Christians cheering that we're going to kill somebody probably isn't going to play too well.
Except in Florida.
No.
The president says the Democrats don't know what to do about Iraq.
This is an important part of this campaign. It's an important part for your future, and if you listen for the plan of the Democrats...
I don't know what we're talking about.
They're in one.
Okay.
What's that Joe Lieberman thinking about today?
Real truth. Vote your mind.
I'm sorry.
He's encouraged by the new poll showing him 12 points ahead of his opponent on Election Day.
But I must say that I believe, based on our own internal polling, that it's closer than the Quinnipiac poll says, and that this is a very volatile political environment we're in, so we're not taking anything for granted.
Internal polling sounds uncomfortable. That sounds like a thing that would bring into the ER late at night at 3 a.m.
Oh, speaking of that, a man was arrested on suspicion of carrying a concealed weapon after police found him outdoors naked, and he told them he had a tool up his rectum. This is from El Cerrito, California.
Rectum.
The man was lying on a tree stump.
Dun, 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 dun. Lying on a tree stump.
Pleasuring himself beside a nature path. John Sheehan of Pittsburgh was initially arrested on suspicion of indecent exposure, but when asked whether he was carrying anything police should know about, he did mention the tool. Well, you can't get more concealed than that, he said. Officers drew their weapons, and firefighters were called to the scene. He removed a 6-inch metal ball wrapped in black electrical tape without incident or pain. He was paroled from state prison just last week, and then was booked into jail on suspicion of parole violations and indecent exposure, and now one felony count of possession of concealed weapon. Well, when you talk about an awl or an ice pick and you're dealing with someone who's fresh out of prison, it's a weapon. That's a stabbing instrument. Not immediately clear what he's on parole for. A person answering the phone at the jail said they didn't know whether or not he had a lawyer.
Sitting on the tree stump.
Why, Helen? Why do you do these things?
I'll just talk to our good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir.
Hi, what's up?
Well, I was listening about the Paul Stanley thing, and he got me excited. I had to lock my office door and take a moment to collect my thoughts. And
use your right or your left hand for that?
Both, of course. I actually have a headset.
This is creepy.
But Scotty on the, talking to Scotty on that, how he has tried to track down Paul Stanley, and I said, you know, there's only one way to up it, because Scotty had said, well, what if we can get him with makeup?
Well, see, that won't happen, though. I mean, unless it's because he's not performing in makeup, I don't think. Because he's not touring. I mean, he is part of KISS, obviously, but this is a solo tour. So I don't think he's going to be performing in makeup, and it doesn't seem likely that he would put that on just for little old me.
Well, I'm just saying, if you put together that interview, I would highly recommend you hire some sort of doorman or bouncer to keep me from the studio.
Oh, no. I mean, look, if we can, and I've said this right now. Now, Scotty thinks that I'm being unfair because here's the thing. That Scotty is trying... Oh, we might as well just ask him. Tim, do you mind if we hold on for just a second? Can we
put a pin in this for just a second? No, I think this is much more important.
Well, it's not, but
no,
Scotty J.
All right, if you can just come into the studio for just a second. In the future, Scotty will have a microphone of his own.
You can borrow my headphones.
And we'll get back to the news in just a second here, but I do want to ask this. Okay, so I know you think that this whole show is just a big wheeling out of control thing. So what is the deal? You sent an email off to Paul Stanley's people.
Yeah, I actually got on that this morning before any of this talk happened or that I talked to you, so, yeah.
All right, so you have sent an email off to Paul Sanders' people.
And I had dibs on that bottle.
Well, no, now look, if you're able to make it happen, in other words, if they get back to you and you can confirm it and make it happen, then, again, it is a bottle of whatever you drink. The same thing I said, the same deal I made with you for Alice Cooper, by the way. That you were able to get Alice Cooper, and I know you were not able to.
Oh, we came so close on that.
You didn't. So, here's the thing. So, but if you can
get... as close as we came to David Cassidy.
Seriously. No, not even... No, Alice Cooper, they never even returned your emails. They never even called you back.
Yeah, Cassidy was really close. I mean, look, we even got a voicemail back.
I was just going to say, how close was it?
Scotty J.
Yeah. So, okay, but if you can hook me up with Paul Stanley for an interview, either, in phone or in person, again, it is the bottle of the liquor of your choice, within reason.
And I will double down on that.
Really?
I'll get him a half gallon. because I'm gonna drink half of it, because obviously I'm going to be aroused by both Paul Stanley and you two kissing.
Oh,
Paul Stanley, not you and Scotty J.
Yeah, thank you.
Who's kissing who again?
I thought you were going to make out with Paul Stanley.
Well, that's only if he's here in the studio. And that's only if he asks. I don't want to force myself on him. No, I mean, it wouldn't be polite.
That's really strange.
No, but anyway. So the bounty is everybody. It's not just Scotty. It's Storm. It's anybody. So if anybody hooks up, the interview with Paul Stanley, yeah, again, there is a bounty on that. Because
who's
he's
putting on that show?
He's on the top five. The Aladdin.
Is
but
it
I don't
Monkey?
Know I don't know who's presenting it, actually. I have no idea.
All right, I'll get in on this for a half gallon of liquor.
That's the thing is, some people might have all day to be calling. I'm busy cutting out Sounders right now, so...
Oh, I'm sorry, Scotty. I didn't realize you were so overworked. Okay. So,
thank you.
Anyway, there you go. There's Scotty J, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so I'll let you know, Dennis, as soon as I can, as soon as we find out the deal with that.
Well, I appreciate that. I would definitely have to put him, even as a car guy, he would be on the top five people to meet.
Yeah.
I just hope I don't turn into Wayne and Garth.
Oh, if we were able to book Paul Stanley, I have no idea, really, even off the top of my head, what I would ask him. What do you ask the Star Child?
You sit there and drool, and you're cool.
What do you ask a living God?
That's my same problem with Joshua Jackson.
listen to this segue. Fantastic. All right, I'll let you know, sir.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. See you tomorrow. There you go.
They're advertising another baby, because this one's a preemie, called Tiny Miracle Emmy.
By the way, when we say they're advertising a baby, this is the fake baby doll that's in the Inquirer. This would have hand-rooted hair as well?
It's micro-rooted hair.
I'm sorry, Tim?
Oh, I thought that might be the one.
No, that's a chicken.
Oh.
moving on, here's Tim Riley.
Well, a lot of people are interested in hearing more about head lice. I think we can all agree.
Yes, absolutely.
Head lice, those nasty nuisances from school children and parents... We're blown away in a half an hour with a brand new blow dryer device. Its inventor is called the Louse Buster. This was invented in a laboratory in Salt Lake City. The device kills bugs and eggs by drying them out. By one day, off an alternative to the powerful delousing shampoos and literal.
It's making me itch. I'm getting all itchy now.
Well, they had a study of 169 children in Salt Lake City and showed the Louse Buster killed 80% of lice.
Well, that's weird. What, are children in Salt Lake City just covered in insects or something?
Apparently so.
Just covered in weevils?
Mm-hmm.
Weevil is a funny word, by the way. Here's Tim Riley.
Somebody's going to go to hell. Thieves have stolen wedding dresses meant for ill women.
Are these cancer women?
Yep. Millions of dollars worth stolen
people.
In Arizona worth $3 million.
Wait, hold on. I have a sounder for that. Is stolen where?
In Arizona.
Arizona, Arizona.
So that's that.
All right.
Meanwhile,
I'm not
bugs.
Making fun.
No, you're not.
I'm bringing attention to a story that happened in...
Arizona.
Do we have any former Starbucks employees around that we know of?
Yes, me.
Well,
Starbucks.
Fantastic.
Apparently, they've lost track of 4 laptop computers with private information of about 60,000 current and former employees.
Uh-oh.
That includes your address, your social security number, dating back prior to 2003.
Dun, 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 dun.
No, I worked there 2002.
Yeah, but it's prior.
Prior? Damn it.
Hey, you wouldn't tell it.
Well, I was just trying to hear what I wanted to hear.
That's genius.
Of course, no problems have been reported so far.
Of course not. How could that possibly go wrong?
Man.
All right.
Well, darn it all to heck. Let's do a monkey watch.
Darn it all to heck. Let's do a monkey watch. Fantastic. Here's your monkey watch. Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
A crew of a large cargo ship heading from Sydney has been told to catch or kill a rogue monkey running loose aboard a vessel, or they will not be allowed to dock. So there. A spokesman for the Australian Inspection Service said the container ship, which is coming from China, was due in Australian waters within 2 days. The ship's crew have sent Australian authorities photos of the animal in a bid to have it identified, but the quarantine spokesman said the shots were of poor quality and showed only a small brown blur.
It's fantastic. I love that. I love the idea that it's like that they can't even catch it on film. It's just some sort of vague, amorphous brown smudge.
It's been missing for 3 days.
On the camera, just sort of like... You know, he's tearing down the, tearing through the insides of the ship, just like the guys on the Kaiser Soze boat. Did you hear, are we playing the spot for, what does Deborah Norville host?
I don't know.
She hosts some crap on TV, doesn't
Probably.
She?
Probably.
Hello.
Her name really hasn't been in the news in a long time.
No,
maybe she does Home Shopping Club or something.
I was in the bathroom earlier today.
Oh, you were.
And I was listening to Couple, because that's the station that they chose. Oddly enough, they choose not to pipe this station onto the... Here's three places you will never hear this station. In the bathrooms here at CBS, in the lobby here at CBS, or on hold when you call CBS. Every station in the cluster, as they say, every station in the cluster will be heard except for this one. This is a station you really honestly have to seek this station out. It will never come find you.
It's destination listening.
It really is. That is why we always tell people to spread the word, because, and I understand why, but I'm just saying, it's not like you're going to call up because you won a prize from K-Hits and you're going to hear this station on hold. It's not going to happen. You really have to find this station. They're not going to bring it to you. But they're playing a spot on Couple for some Deborah, you know, Deborah Norville on a very special, whatever this news show is. And I swear to God, his face was ripped off by chimpanzees. That's the opening line of the sentence. His face was ripped off by chimpanzees. Now he's got a new face. And then they have Deborah Norville going, how's your new face?
Oh, it's fine.
You know, it's like clearly he's been...
The mirror where his nose used to be.
Yeah, big...
And a big toe for ear.
I was going to say, just big fake rubbery lips. I'm fine. And, but just in hearing the article, and I believe in the background they actually have, like, to bring the point into stark relief, as though you didn't know it. It's a lot of... His face was ripped off by chimpanzees. In the background there's a lot of... You know, which is great. And they say ripped off by chimpanzees like four times in the spot. It's fantastic.
You always see people like that on the match. You think they're wearing a Halloween mask until you take a closer look.
It's a terrible thing to say.
Well, I'm just stating observations.
It really is true. Okay. Well, so much we got to get to. And I mean, we're not going to break quite yet, but here's what we got to do. We got to talk about this Joshua Jackson business. What else? We did put a pin in that earlier. We're going to talk to Peter Carlin at 2:30 so forth. Well, let's get a couple of these. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yes, I was just calling to say that the Hulkster is running wild in the city of McMinnville today.
You got
to
say it like he would say it, though.
I can't say it. It would be horrible.
Hulkster's running wild in McMinnville. Yeah! Hulk Hogan is in McMinnville?
Yeah, I guess there was some contest for Brooke Hogan to do a concert in certain state, and as for text messaging and stuff like that, and McMinnville High won.
Does she actually have a career, or is that, I mean, a singing career? Is her song popular?
I've never even heard one of her songs.
Sarah Dillon?
I actually spent this weekend watching VH1, and I saw her video about 17 times where she actually has a grill and is fight dancing with another group of girls.
A grill like Paul Wall grill?
Yeah, it's actually a duet with Paul Wall.
No!
The worst thing ever.
Is it terrible?
It's totally terrible.
I was just kidding when I said Paul Wall. Paul Wall's a Southern rapper.
No, it's all like, you know, she's like scrappy fighter girl, and they're having this big dance-off in a club, and then, you know, it flashes to Paul Wall with all his little shiny things on doing this.
Like, Hulk Hogan is tough. Brooke Hogan.
Good quality.
You can't grow up as the son of a multi-jillionaire and be tough. No. Really? All right. Well, okay. So he's in McMinnville. Well, hello, Hulk.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
That's kind of cool. He and Rowdy Piper are in the same. They're both within our listening distance right now. They're both out there. Fantastic.
They could be having dinner in Portland tonight.
Yes, all right.
Who knows?
Thank you. If anybody sees Hulk Hogan,
who knows where he's dining tonight?
Sir, and he's gone. No, so Hulk Hogan's apparently in McMinnville. So if you can find him with a cell phone and call us before the end of the program, we'll give you something shiny. Let's see. Let's get that one more here. Terry, hello.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
Terry and Tiger. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Listen, I was wondering if you're going to give us an update on that crazy lady who called the Tom Likas show and admitted that she murdered somebody and got away with it.
We talked about that a little bit. God, was it on the air or was it? No, I guess not. But
because I've been listening and I didn't hear any update. And I was just wondering if you knew anything else.
No, this is not one of those shows where I can already see that like we need like a 9-hour show today. Here's the thing.
Spiraling.
So, Likas on Friday, and we haven't even talked about Scotty J and his reaction to meeting Tom. Scotty got to meet Tom Likas on Friday. And
he must have been thrilled.
Oh, I thought he was going to weep. I thought he was going to, like, weep small girl-like tears.
Oh,
I mean, it really,
I'm surprised he didn't wet his pants.
He might have. he certainly did smell by the end of the evening, but we were in a bar, so who knows. But And Tom signed his Likas 101 diploma. This certifies that you have completed Likas 101. And Tom signed it, and we handed it to Scotty. And it's like, and Scotty actually said this to me. He said, and Scotty, by the way, now look, we'll talk about the top of the hour. But Scotty was, he had been consuming, what is it, what does Campbell Scott say? I was just here drinking many beers. And Scotty was, this is the happiest day of my life. I can die happy. Yeah. Just in a pile of mush.
So Scotty was in his cup.
It really was true. So anyway, so Likas was doing the show live from Barracuda. And none of us really heard this because, you know, it was kind of big and echoey in there. And we were busy sort of, working the crowd and meeting clients and talking to listeners and just schmoozing. And I was sort of being all anal retentive about it and running around making sure everything was fine and making sure Tom had, because, you know, it wasn't, I mean, we were there, but it wasn't about us. It was Tom's thing. So we were making sure that Tom was taken care of and he had everything he needed and that the crew was happy and blah, blah, blah. Tom, in the 5 o'clock hour, takes this call. And by the way, I would encourage, you know, whether, you know, we've talked a lot in the last week about how he is a polarizing figure. But I got to tell you, even if you don't think you're a Tom fan, you probably should listen today because he's going to talk about this. I would bet my bottom dollar on it. This woman calls in the 5 o'clock hour. And she talks about, and I make sure that I get this correct here, as I understand it, because I only heard little bits and pieces of it, and I heard him replay it. But she had one night stand with some guy who then didn't pay his child support or was behind on his child support. And she was having trouble garnishing his wages or whatever. And anyway, so some big conflagration happened about the child support. And then she just, like, shot him in the head and killed him. And Tom is like, well, what do you mean you shot him and killed him? She's like, I shot him and killed him. And then he says, well, what the hell? And then she says, and the best part is that the cops think he did it himself. And so the thrust of the call was that this woman called Tom's show on Friday and admitted that she murdered the guy and that the cops thought it was suicide. And it ended with Tom offering $5,000 out of his own pocket to anybody that could find her and, like, get her convicted.
Well, I thought that he had the number. He knew what number she was calling from.
She was calling from a friend's cell phone, apparently, so she claimed, because she was calling an 800 number, she didn't think she could be found. And Tom
could be trade.
Yeah, and Tom, which is stupid. I mean, if you call caller ID, it works on 800 numbers like anything else. And Tom's like, well, no, I've got your number. She's like, well, it's my friend's cell phone. And so she was calling from Tempe, I believe, Tempe, Arizona. And so Tom is offering $5,000 to anybody that can locate her so that she can be prosecuted. So
So you can't trace his cell phone number then?
Well, I don't know how that works. I mean, I know he has the number, and I guess you can go to the provider or whatever. But I know that over the course of the weekend, it was already being covered on websites and news sites. Like, I saw it on a couple news sites over the weekend. So I would imagine it's going to be a big story this week. So
yeah,
I would listen.
You don't have any update then?
Because I would imagine the updates will come when Tom does his show. So I would listen about an hour from now. You'll hear any updates, I would imagine. It was insane, though. It was pretty intense. It was one of the creepiest, you know, calls that I've ever heard on the radio. It was very unnerving. So, so he'll be talking about that today at 3. I would almost guarantee that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Terry and Tigard. All right. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Say, here's something for all you seniors listening, and we know you are. Seniors who get their food for Meals on Wheels can also now get pet food this season for the animals.
Aww.
Just call ahead and they'll put it in the appropriate label container so there's no confusion.
That's adorable.
That's going on in the PDX. Well, before losing 75 pounds, Kirstie Alley, who makes her bikini debut on the Oprah Winfrey Show today.
Oh, no, it burns.
Was trapped in a cycle of binge eating that at one point had her tipping the scales at some 220 pounds.
I thought she was. No, she's way heavier than that. She wasn't just 200. That's they're shaving pounds right there. Kirstie Alley did not top out on 220 pounds.
20 sugar-free popsicles, 12 grape sodas, chips, 2 burritos, a tostada. I was eating 8,000 calories a day, says Alice.
8,000 calories a day?
Oh, she's 55. It's amazing she's still alive.
I didn't think she was that old.
I didn't think she was that old either.
Well, then she's got to be 60.
Yeah.
If she says she's 55, she's got to be 60. If she weighed 220, she had to weigh probably close to 3. Because men are notoriously bad at judging weight. So, I mean, who would even know? But,
So she's playing a teenager 20 years ago.
8,000 calories a day?
Yeah. I had a holiday mentality. I ate with wild abandon, said she.
I ate with wild... And the front of the Inquirer, by the way, does have her shoving a big thing into her face. Yeah.
Her breakthrough began with a simple thought. I'm old. I'm fat. What am I worth? Repeating those lines to herself, Allie, who struts her newly suave figure at Oprah in a mauve bikini, thought it sounded like the beginning of a good television show. Inspired to create what became the Showtime series Fat Actress. Allie wrote into the script that she would join Jenny Craig in an attempt to lose the weight, which she did.
She does look kind of hot in this picture and where she's really small.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken far away and it's blurry. Other than that, she looks totally hot. There are some horrible photos in here. And I know the Inquirer, they try to find you at your worst. They try to get you when you're sneezing or whatever. But there are some truly awful photos here. Have you looked through this, Sarah?
No, not the whole thing.
Oh, my God. Okay, first of all...
It takes a lot of work to beat the websites these days.
God, the fat blonde woman on the front? Okay, not Martha Stewart. Anybody know? You'll probably never guess it. She's not famous enough. You'll never guess it. She's the son of some... sorry. Freudian slip? She's the daughter.
Oh, that's Cher's daughter?
Yeah, Chastity Bono.
Yeah.
That was a little Freudian slip.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, Chastity. Hello! Yeah. Boy, that's just... She's a whole lot of... That's a whole lot
and
of...
And she went on that weight loss show, the Celebrity Fit Club thing. Boy, yeah, she lost some weight.
Put a bell around her neck. Okay, this is the worst photo ever taken of Rosie O'Donnell. I know that you can't see these, but I would encourage you, by the way, to go pick up this week's Inquirer, even if you've never read the Inquirer before.
And don't be ashamed. It's okay.
Don't be ashamed. I bought it with some spray cheese over the weekend. Mm-hmm. So you can't possibly be more shameful at wearing my CBS radio jacket. Okay, Rosie O'Donnell... Tell me that she doesn't look like a zombie right here. Now, I want you to look at this photo, Sarah. Now, when I show you this photo of Rosie O'Donnell, I want you to picture a word balloon above her going, brains!
Oh, she's not looking good.
John Travolta is almost as big as she is now.
Yeah.
She's getting this.
She looks like a zombie, but look at Britney Spears.
Oh, no.
That's, how terrible is that photo?
What is that? It looks like she has that front butt thing.
the fat upper pelvic area?
Yes.
It looks like the top of a pie crust.
It's like over the edge. Yeah. She's got the 2-inch pie crust.
Because I have a pumpkin pie that looks just like that. That was my first thought when I saw it. That looks like the pumpkin pie.
I have a pumpkin pie at home that looks just like Britney Spears' waistline.
Oh,
Britney Spears, 24. Oh, my God, this is a bad photo. Jesus. This is what happens when you get rid of your handlers and minders. God damn. Who has had back-to-back pregnancies was up to 140 pounds, more than that, after the birth of her second son. Brittany's relationship with food seems almost toxic. And she admitted, I let myself go a little bit, after she married Kevin Federline. Brittany is often seen around town toting Cheetos. That's what you want written about you. Sarah Dillon is often seen clutching a bag of Cheetos.
I guess her people don't carry it for her anymore.
She confesses, I am a problem with junk food. I can't help myself. God damn. That's so terrible. Jesus, she looks awful. And then, of course, there's Barbara Streisand. Okay, let me ask you this. And this is a little shop talk here, a little inside talk. Mm-hmm. See this picture of Barbara Streisand? Okay, now I want you to look at Barbara Streisand. Now, picture the thought bubble above her head, the word bubble. Rick, I have a weekend show you might be interested in. It's off-putting and poorly produced. Can you find a home for the show at AM 970?
Oh, my God.
Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I roll. All right. Let's welcome now to the... thank you. Jim Roop from Los Angeles. Hello, sir.
Howdy.
Hi, how's life? How's life where you are?
It's beautiful. It's hot. It's another fire. It's beautiful.
Is there another fire? Really?
7.
Okay, good God. I hate to sound like a small-town radio show, but what's the weather like there? Because it's terrible here.
It's like 93, 94.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, it's hotter than hell.
And is it's a dry heat, though. But 93, but I mean, is it because I got to tell you, I don't know what the temperature is here, but it's ass outside. It is windy and dark, and it's like we're in the Wizard of Oz.
Oh no! It's not like that here at all. It's unseasonably warm.
Have you ever been to Portland?
Yes.
And were you here in the rainy season?
It seemed to always rain when I was there.
Well, that's a big yes. It's just a bad day outside. And I know that I've lived here for like a decade, and I shouldn't bitch about it, but goddamn, it sucks outside. I just like to know that
something
the sun...
you can't get used to, huh?
I like to know that the sun is out there somewhere.
Yeah, it's down here.
Yeah, thanks. Say hello to the sun for me.
Will do.
Hey, is Schwarzenegger going to get reelected?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I mean, and how do you, I mean, is it, now, in your estimation as a journalist, has he been a good thing?
He has been good.
He's been good to the state. The state's better since he's in office.
I believe he has been. He's been good at several things, but most importantly, he's been good at slapping the politicians around, saying, shut up about being a Democrat. We got to get this road built, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, and he does.
He's a good guy to cross party lines.
He seems politically savvy, too, in the sense that as George W. Bush starts to slowly flambé himself, that Schwarzenegger has learned to step away from that and to not be hidebound by ideology.
Well, I think he uses a lot of his business sense in his political career, and he knows when to hold him and when to fold him. You know, he knows when to walk away.
Yeah, well, no, it's true.
I better stop that. But you know what I mean?
Here's the thing about it. It was a real crapshoot that it could have been just a huge embarrassment for California had he sucked, because it would have been like, hey, remember when you guys elected Schwarzenegger?
But he pretty much did, so far anyway, what he said he was going to do. And you know, no one can really blame him for that. In fact, it's at the point where the Democratic challenger, Bill Angelides, who's the state treasurer, it seems to be evolved into political name-calling for him. And he's not really talking about anything other than what he thinks Schwarzenegger's doing wrong. And what's problematic also for him is that he's talking to Democrats still. He should have sewn these guys up a long time ago, and she should be talking to the undecided Republican voters. He's screwing himself.
Let me ask you this. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but let's assume for the moment that it does look like, because Schwarzenegger's up by like, what, like 20 points, 15 points?
18,
like
I think, of the 18? Last poll, yeah.
So, does he want to be president?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think he does. No.
You don't think that Schwarzenegger would? I mean, I don't even know that he could be elected because he doesn't have a lot of dirt, it seems like.
Well, he can't be because he's not a natural born.
Well, but that's my thing, is like,
I don't think he does want to be. I think he likes California. It's the state, you know, he's lived in since he came here. It's the state that gave him all the opportunities. Yes, the country it does, but this is where his home is, and I think he likes being able to help this state. And it almost is its own country.
Fifth
largest economy.
Is it fifth largest economy in the world?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That really is.
I don't have any of that damn money, but
no. Yeah.
Somebody's got it.
Let me just say this, by the way. Now, the Rick Emerson Show, you know, we read The Inquirer regularly here, and without shame.
And you should. It's gotten a lot better.
It's a fantastic paper. Now, listen, we had this story a couple weeks ago, and there's been three layers to this. We had this story where O.J. was going to be supposedly writing this book where he confessed. He did this sort of flimsy, like, page and a half. This was all hypothetical. And then confessed about how he killed Nicole.
Right.
And then there was this whole flurry of denials from everybody, including the guy that was supposedly brokering the deal. There were all of these denials where, like, like Simpson's attorney actually said, it's crap, this whole thing. He completely denied it. They flat out, they went everywhere and denied it. Now, I would encourage everybody, this week's Inquirer is really great. A, it's got a terrible picture of Britney Spears. It's got a picture of Rosie O'Donnell in which she looks like a brain-eating zombie. And then right here, it's got, this is what I love about the Inquirer, is that they just will come and stick it right in your face. Page 7 of the Inquirer, I'm just going to read a little bit of this because I know you are as fascinated by this as I am. Page 7. OJ confession book is real despite denials. Inquirer finds more evidence to prove it. This is by David Wright and Alan Smith. And it says, real brief, I'll read it here. It says, we all end up eating our words at some point. It's even to happen to us at the Inquirer. But the real fun is telling you in advance who will be dining on their own misstatements. With that in mind, we bring you this list. O.J. Simpson's attorney, Yael Galanter, Bill O'Reilly of Fox News, and Hollywood ghostwriter, Pablo Fengibis. All of the above have emphatically denied the Inquirer's recent exclusive bombshell that Simpson is being paid $3.5 million for a book in which he recounts in blood-curdling detail how his ex-wife Nicole and friend Ron Goldman were murdered. The book actually was apparently ghostwritten by an ex-Inquirer reporter. Anyway, so they list all of these people who went on record denying the book. Simpson's attorney denied it. The alleged ghostwriter denied it. It says right here, they say flat out, they say that it still is happening. It's absolutely going to be released. They're trying to keep it a secret until it absolutely comes out. The Inquirer now says that they have a copy of and have read the 204-page book. They said that they actually have the book and have read it.
And they still don't tell you who the publisher is.
They don't. I don't think they say who the publisher is. I'm looking here. I don't believe they don't say the publisher, but they name the ghostwriter, they say how long the book is, and they say that they have an advance copy of it at the Inquirer.
Wow.
So there you go. So I just one of those things. Maybe nobody cares about it but me, but you know what? I care about it.
Is the ghostwriter based in L.A. or Florida?
The ghostwriter is allegedly, they say here, the ghostwriter is Pablo Fengibis, who is a former Inquirer reporter. And it does not, I don't believe it says where he is located. But they do name him as the ghostwriter. They name the amount. They name the page length. And they say it will come out before the end of the year.
All right. That's,
so there you go.
That's got to be soon.
It's just a weird case that nobody seems to be talking about. And after the denials, it kind of went away with the Inquirer. They say flat out that it's still going to happen. It's going to be out before the end of the year. And
I can't wait.
Just fascinated by the whole thing. So, all right. You really got to, you don't have to buy it, but just really pick up this page, this copy of the Inquirer, and just check out this photo of Rosie O'Donnell, where she looks like she's just lurching forward like one of the undead army looking to eat your spine. It really is fantastic.
I don't want nightmares, man.
And for this picture of Patrick Dempsey from Grey's Anatomy, his ex-wife, who it looks as though she has been desiccated by beetles. Oh. It really, she just looks terrible. So
she's the ex-wife.
Wait, yeah, we love celebrities who look bad. Sarah Dillon actually runs a whole blog that is nothing but bad pictures of celebrities. And the Inquirer is like Sarah's, it's just like her, it's like her fever dream. It's just fantastic.
That's great.
There you go, my friend Jim Roop. We'll check in with you, I imagine, tomorrow and just see how everything's kind of shaking out in your state. So
yeah, I mean, I won't know anything until the evening, of course, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the exit polls are doing.
Well, see, we don't need hard facts. I can have ill-founded speculation and gossip.
Oh,
murdering.
I have plenty of that for you.
Excellent. God bless you, sir.
You bet you, baby.
All right, brother. Enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy your 93-degree weather.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. There you go. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, live in Los Angeles. Fantastic. All right. What do we got to... And hello, we're going to break. We're so behind.
Yeah, we didn't take the 50.
What?
Yeah.
What? What?
Why, Helen? Why do you do these things?
Fantastic. Thank you. We'll be back after this. Don't go anywhere. Holy diver, you've been down to love.